Hi, this is Dr. Mary Young. Welcome to the audio version of my blog. Today's called, Is It Always About Me? I picked up my son from school today. He got in the car, moaned a bit, turned his body completely away from me. I asked him if he was okay, and he ignored me. I asked him again, and he continued to ignore me. I asked him if he was upset with me or if something happened at school. Still no answer. We sat in silence on the ride home. He entered the house, put up his backpack, and sulked into the living room. His dad greeted him, and he offered little, if any, response. About 10 minutes passed, and I was preparing dinner in the kitchen, and Andrew came into the kitchen, and without saying a word, he barreled into me with an 11-year-old version of a bear hug. I hugged back, still not saying a word, and then he was fine the rest of the evening. When my husband and I first married, he had to travel frequently for work. I soon learned that when Ben is on a job site, he is extremely focused and compartmentalized. He has to have reminders to check in, and although after 15 years with me, this has become a bit more natural for him. But back then, it was like pulling teeth to get him to remember that he was now part of a team and that the other half wanted to know where he was from time to time. He would give his all to the job, and by the time he got back to his hotel, often late in the evening, he was pretty much shot. By the end of the week, I would be missing him and happily awaiting his return on Friday evening. He, on the other hand, would walk in, barely grunt a greeting, and pass me, almost as if I was a ghost. He'd go to bed and crash for the night. He did not seem happy to see me. The first couple of times this happened, I wondered what on earth was wrong. Was our marriage already over? What happened on the road? Was he mad at me? But then on Saturday morning, he woke up and he was his usual self. There didn't seem to be any issue. And then it happened again and again. But after a couple of times, I began to figure out he was neither having marriage remorse nor a split personality. It's Ben. And I said, as I said earlier, when he works hard. And so by the time Friday night came around and he returned home, he had nothing left to give to anyone, including himself. So he did the best job he could by taking care of himself, which was to go right to bed. And after a good night's sleep, he replenished his emotional stock, and he was himself, still in love with his wife, and our relationship proceeded as normal. Fortunately, I figured out fairly early into this process that I had a couple of choices. I could be mad, hurt, retaliatory, or a whole host of other delectable feelings that don't resemble my adult self. I could be dramatic, and at an earlier time of my life, I probably would have been. But when I thought about what was happening, it was easy to separate his need to work the way he did and our relationship. Whether or not he could or should have worked differently is a different subject. The reality is that if his work habits were encroaching on our relationship, then we might have needed to look for a different alternative. But instead, I was able to take the route of adjusting my own expectations. Instead of planning for an ultimately disappointing reunion on Friday, I would tell myself that my husband wasn't coming home until Saturday morning, because in truth, that's the soonest that the guy I love was going to be showing up, even though the grumpy imposter was sharing our space. The Friday night arrival was basically a zombie, not capable of giving me a high five or a, gee, I missed you so. I'm not suggesting that my son's behavior is a chip off the old block here, but the similarity is that I can now more easily see that people can have their own brand of muck going on that causes their mood to flatten, and it doesn't have to be about me, just because I'm the one in the room at the time. I used to get very frustrated at the phrase, don't take this personally. I couldn't understand how, when you're the only person in the room to receive the message, how you could take it any other way. But I realize now that, in fact, someone can be telling you something about themselves and where they are, and it doesn't have to be about you, or in the examples above, me. My son obviously was having a hard day or a hard hour or minute or whatever. He needed space. More importantly, the last thing, and I must repeat here for my own benefit, the last thing he needed was to take emotional energy away from whatever was bothering him to focus on my insecurity or guilt or whatever I could conjure up to feel responsible for his mood. That's not to say that when we've truly caused a problem for another, we shouldn't try to figure it out and see if we need to repair something. This is a situation in which to apply Stephen Covey's seek first to understand. We can ask the other, are you okay? Is there something you need from me? Rather than assuming it's about us and go into fixing mode, even if we don't know what there is or that we are the one to fix it. If the other person isn't ready to talk, then we have to learn to be patient and wait to see if the problem gets resolved without our input. Sometimes that's the hardest part of all. Thanks very much for listening. If you like today's post, I hope that you'll pass it on to someone else. Until next time, take care.